Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of August 30th, 2010. I'm your host, Zach, and Chris is actually guest DJing tonight at a karaoke bar, and I think Brian's out there with him, so I just have Joe with me tonight.
Hey, everybody.
But we're going to do... We got a good show. We got tons of stuff to talk about, so why don't we get right into it with show and tell. So, Joe, what did you watch over the past week?
The past week, I have been eagerly awaiting Sons of Anarchy Season 2 on Blu-ray, and I actually just got it in the mail today from Netflix, so I'm going to have a lot to talk about next week. This week, not so much, actually. I watched Cop Out, and yeah, exactly. I'm not off to a good start. I watched Cop Out, and that movie, you know, while it was a nice idea in theory, I guess, to have a, you know, Kevin Smith directed buddy cop movie,
not written by him.
Right You know, the problem with it was it seemed like the cast was a good idea, like the pairing of Tracy Morgan and Bruce Willis. I think, you know, they weren't what was wrong with the movie, but other than that first interrogation scene with Tracy Morgan with Bruce Willis watching, I mean, that movie was basically worth nothing. Like I hate saying that too, because I really did want to like it, but the general consensus of people that I knew that saw it was that, yeah, the first 10 minutes is kind of funny, but it fizzles out really fast and goes in all sorts of like crazy directions. And it does. So check it out if you want to. If not, YouTube the first scene. That and the UFC event this past weekend was James Lights Out Tony against Randy the Natural Couture, and then, of course, the rematch between BJ Penn and Frankie Edgar for the lightweight championship. I would have to say that all of my predictions were came true for this event, in that Randy Couture utterly destroyed James
That's
Tony.
That's what I heard.
To the point where James Tony didn't even throw a strike, much less land a strike. It was like about maybe 16 seconds of them circling each other cautiously, and Randy Couture went in for a single leg takedown, didn't get a leg, but got an ankle instead, but apparently that was all he needed to take the inexperienced mixed martial artist to the ground, pummel him out, and I'm not exactly sure if they ruled it a TKO, or I think they did rule it a TKO, even though it looked like he had James Toney in the same submission that Brock Lesnar actually caught Shane Carwin with back at UFC 116, which would be an arm triangle. But I'm pretty sure James Toney didn't even tap out the right way. He was just sort of like flailing and screaming, so they stopped it. I mean, at one point, Randy Couture was actually yelling at the ref, like, he's trying to quit, but apparently that
wasn't
enough.
He's not doing it right. I'm sorry.
Exactly. So, you know, big props to James Toney, though, because, you know, he ran his mouth about MMA not being about being like, you know, the bastard like stepchild of boxing or whatever. And he actually stepped up and fought a mixed martial artist. I think that if James Toney had maybe a year more of training under his belt, his boxing credentials alone, you know, give him the base to be a good mixed martial artist. But I think he's just a little too old to begin with to start a career in MMA. And he was a little bit too unaware of all that goes into an actual mixed martial arts event. The main event between BJ Penn and Frankie Edgar was basically a continuation of their last fight, in the sense that Frankie Edgar outclassed BJ Penn in every single category. And I think that if there were any doubters from the last fight saying that Frankie Edgar just squeezed out a decision and like got away, so to speak, with a victory over BJ Penn, I think Frankie Edgar silenced all those doubters and had a very, very impressive showing. And now his next fight will be against Gray Maynard, who earned the number one contendership spot that very night Not sure when that's going to happen, but Gray Maynard already has a victory over Frankie Edgar, so it'll be interesting to see how this rematch, but for a championship, pans out. Mm-hmm. That's it. What did you watch? Man.
Well, I saw a bunch of stuff this past week. First up, I guess, is the Burn Notice summer finale.
Very cool.
Oh, you saw it too, Joe?
I did not, because I've missed so many episodes this season. I wanted to watch it so bad.
Well, you have like 2 months to catch up, so.
Oh, I totally do. I'm ready.
It's back in November.
Okay, sweet.
But yeah, it's a little disappointing because usually like the Burn Notice finales, they have like, it's all like about the whole overarching plot of the season, but this is, mm-hmm. it was another Client of the Week thing that they got this week.
Okay.
But the last 50 minutes was really awesome because they had like, Robert Patrick was like finally met up with Michael Weston and stuff. Like,
oh,
cool. Robert Patrick's been like the big bad guy they revealed in like the last half of the season, or like the last half of this mid-season or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, also Michael finally got a Bond gadget, and like he got this like this mini submarine as payment for like his client for the week.
Wow.
Yeah. So they use that a little bit in the show, and then like he's in a very precarious spot at the end of the episode.
I believe it. Yeah, that sucks because usually Michael gets paid with like you know a free sandwich or something.
Like
he doesn't usually
like,
get.
It's like if you ever need a favor, I'm right here.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, hey, if you ever need a used Volvo, you just give me a call. And he's like, great, yeah. Thanks.
Well, actually, there's like this one guy this season was like a clothing counterfeiter or something. So he's like, if you guys ever need shoes or purses, I'm right here.
Oh,
and Fiona was like, yes.
I do need those right now. I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Stereotypes.
Yeah, but I don't really want to spoil anything. But it was a good episode. Not like the best like finale episode, but it was. It's probably one of the better episodes of the season so far.
From what I understand, a lot of people that watch the show, I mean, myself included, only having seen up till, I guess, the first half of season three, the season one finale is still widely regarded as the best. I mean, just because he's in, like, a truck going to nowhere.
Yeah.
And in terms of, like, cliffhangers and, like, oh, wow, I can't wait for next season, like, that was right up there with the best of
them. Two was good, too, because two was, like, when he, like, confronted Fraser's dad and like jumped out of the helicopter.
Yeah, actually, that was pretty good too.
Yeah, but I'm excited for November. So.
Yeah, definitely. That show's got a lot of momentum going. You know, I mean, just because they don't really take too long of breaks between the new episodes.
Well, all the USA shows, it's like they do like the half season schedule. So it's like
So it seems like they're always, like, grinding them out, you know?
Yeah, so it's not like 24 was, like, May, and then you're like, oh, yeah, wait till January.
Coming next Easter. It's like, what?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so I watched that, and then also the Netflix embargo finally came up on a bunch of movies. So I saw Clash of Titans, which is the 2010 version.
Excellent.
Which, it was all right. It wasn't the best movie ever, but it's not, like, the worst movie ever. It's just, like, right in the middle. It's got, like, there's plot holes you could, like, drive a truck through.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a good sequence. There's, like, I like the scorpion battle and stuff, and, like, the Medusa battle's pretty good, too.
Yeah, I mean, that movie really looked like it was more about the visual experience than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at least the saving grace, I guess, is that the battles were, like, cool to watch, you know?
Yeah. Definitely not Sam Worthington.
Okay.
Sam Worthington is just like he's like more of a Terminator than he was in Terminator Salvation.
Oh, good.
Just like emotionless.
Oh,
he has
boy.
One facial expression.
Well, hopefully he at least wears it well.
I guess. It's grim. I guess grim is the best way to describe it.
Grim or slightly perturbed.
Yeah.
Nice. That's good range. You need that. That's important these days.
Yep. And then, Matt Mikkelsen kind of saves it because he's like a badass. He's like the veteran of like, I'm a bit seen all this shit before. You come with me. So.
Yeah, everybody needs one of those.
Yeah, within like sacrifices himself.
Grizzled badass. Yeah. Oh, excellent.
Learn from this. And also, the Kraken is like probably one of the most disappointing things of the year.
Like, no, really? What?
The thing takes 20 minutes to stand up, and then, like, it's, like, 5 minutes. There's not even a battle or anything. It's just, like, 5 minutes of him, like, it roaring at people.
Wow.
And Sam Worthington shows up with Deuce's head, and it's like, there you go.
Excellent.
Yeah. But like Liam Neeson is like ridiculously over the top.
Oh yeah.
In his like battle armor. And then like Ralph Fiennes is Hades, so like the reuniting of Schindler's List.
Oh yeah, good. I didn't even pick that up. Wow.
God. Yeah, he is so like Hades. This is like he talks with like this like weird whisper the whole movie, and like he has like crazy smoke wings.
Ooh, gotta love the smoke wings.
Yeah. I kept thinking, like, if Kratos from God of War was in this movie, like, it'd be over in, like, 5 minutes.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Because, like, the Hades from that game is just, like, this, like, horned demon with, like, crazy blades. And it's, like, yeah, like, Ralph Fiennes is, like, floating around in wing smoke wings. He's like,
Good Lord.
I'm Hades.
Wow.
Yeah, so I get it.
That just seems... like bizarre, not even like.
And also, the movie seems it's really rushed too. It's like they have no time for anything. It's just like move on to next story, move on to next story point, move on to next story point. We have no time to explain.
God
this.
Damn it, we don't have time to develop. We need to go now.
We're just a character. We don't have time to explain who he is. Just go, just go, just go.
It's like, do you know how much IMAX 3D costs? Jesus Christ, hurry up!
I just imagine like Louis Leterrier just like running along with a camera, like keep going, we're filming, we're filming.
It's awesome. That whole movie was shot in like 3 takes. Yep. That'd be great.
It's like they ran through the entire country or wherever they were. Yeah, so I get it like a 3 or so. Right in the middle.
Right
in the middle. Also saw The Losers.
Okay, how was that?
I thought that was really good. Like I gave it like a 4.
Oh, sweet.
Definitely, I love Chris Evans. And I love the other Columbus Short, I think. So it was Pooch and Jensen. It's like the comic relief guys.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I didn't actually get to see that, but it looked pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Like as far as like this year of like team of mercenaries or special forces people goes, it's like probably under like second place to Expendables so far.
Uh huh.
Well,
actually, did you see the A-Team?
I haven't seen the A-Team yet. No.
Oh man. Okay, that'll change your mind because I was gonna say I was like we can't. Sweep that one under the carpet. That was actually surprisingly well done.
I think that comes out like October maybe or something. So
yeah, I really can't wait. I mean, I remember seeing that movie and thinking like halfway through it, I think it was like after the third action sequence, I was like, yeah, this is definitely going in the Blu-ray collection. Like I was actually excited about owning the movie before it was even over. So yep. I sort of made my choice right there in that theater.
Also in The Losers, I think Jason Patrick is just like ridiculously over the top. It's like the biggest like douchey villain of the year.
More than Eric Roberts, because he's like the king of douchey villains.
Well, because like Jason Patrick, he's like everything he does is like he throws like these like he's like hires these Indian guys to make like a snook for him.
A snook, yes. Excellent.
That blows up an entire island.
Oh man, that is a pretty. D-baggy move.
Then, like he throws them off the roof, and then like there's like he's like playing go fish with them. He's like, "Do you have any fours?" And this guy's like, "No." And he's like, "You have several fours. Do you even understand how to play this game?"
So he's a mean douchebag, yeah. Which is the worst kind of douchebag.
There's this dwarf guy with them. And he's like, "Are you standing in a hole?" Just like constantly like stuff like that.
Oh, excellent.
Mm-hmm. And then you got, like, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is in it, and he's pretty good. This is, like, general badass. He wears a suit the entire movie.
Oh, very nice.
So, like, Jason Statham-esque.
Yeah.
I think Jason Statham fights better in a suit, though.
Because no one
fights in a suit better than Jason Statham.
You'd be hard-pressed to find someone who fights better in a suit.
Mm-hmm.
Than Jason Statham.
And also, fellow overexposed Avatar person, Zoe Saldana is in this movie, too. It's like, her and Sam Worthington are just like in every single movie.
Yeah, it would really seem that way.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah, but it was a fun movie. Definitely, I'd say it's more funny than, like, because there's only, like, one or two good action sequences.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, like, funny dialogue and stuff in it, so... It's definitely worth a check out if you're an action fan.
Right.
And then the last movie I checked out was, because I saw it came up on Hulu. I wanted to, like, do it for an Everything Action Theater, but unfortunately we couldn't embed it. But I still watched it anyway. It was the 80s classic Krull.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Excellent.
The Glaive!
Oh, boy. Yeah, Krull really... Oh, wow. I mean, that movie's sort of, like, you know, pushed to the side because of, you know, the Conan films and then... Even, like Dark, I love how I said Conan,
like Dark
films.
Like Dark Crystal and Labyrinth and like all the other like fantasy movies.
Yeah, that were just sort of, to be blunt, better.
Yes.
And, you know, better received and just more well-liked, I guess. And then I guess the Lord of the Rings trilogy is really what put like the final stake through the heart of Krull, so to speak. Because a lot of people are like, oh, if you like the Lord of the Rings movies, like, you'd love Krull. It's like, well,
yes.
No, because I've seen the Lord of the Rings, and frankly, it's much better.
No, the Lord of the Rings could use laser spears, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just such a stretch to be like, oh, if you like Lord of the Rings, you'll love Krull. It's like, dude, did you produce it? Like, do you need money? What is this? Like, you're trying to pimp this movie on me.
There's fucking stormtroopers just like running around, but then, yeah. Then they have they're actually like worms or something.
Yeah, Krull is a big blur to me, to be honest. Like, I saw that movie when I was like 13 and was like, well, don't have to talk about this again.
Well, like the only thing people remember now is that Liam Neeson was in it, and the Glaive.
Yeah, Krull is one of the two movies that I think Liam Neeson tries to forget about and hopes that others will forget about.
Yep.
The other one being the original Darkman. And even though I have no problem with the original Darkman, it's just like when you look at what he like has gone on to do since then, he's sort of like, oh, I really regret being in those two films. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he was in Schindler's List because, you know, he was so brooding in Darkman. I'm not sure. I wasn't there.
That was his preparation for Schindler's List.
Oh, yeah, it had to be. It was a character study.
Yep.
They had to know that he could convey pain with just his face.
Yeah. So, like, the thing about Krull, like, with the Glaive, is, like, they build it and build it up, and they use it for, like, 5 minutes in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, Prince Corwin gets it and, like, just puts on his belt for, like, the whole rest of the movie until, like, the final battle.
He's like, all right, now we're set. Anyway, what did we have to do?
I don't know. There's a whole bunch of stuff they got to do. They gotta recruit like a band of thieves and like go see this like crazy spider lady, and there's a cyclops, and then they ride like horses that have fire for their feet and stuff.
That was actually kind of, I was okay with
the fire horses.
Yeah, I was okay with fire horses. I was like, all right, I'd be into that.
Yeah, and then it's like, I think it's the school teacher from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or like Willy Wonka, isn't it?
Oh my god! Yeah, I think that is.
Or like one of the he's not a python, I don't think, but he's just like a British comedian. He's like Ergo the Magnificent, like the magician guy, whose only power is he can like turn into different animals.
Oh, good.
So he turns into like a rabbit and like a puppy, and then finally he turns into a tiger at the end. So,
awkward shapeshifting.
Yep.
Excellent. I could turn into lovable house pets. Oh, good. It's like, do you want to do birthday parties? Like, what are you going
to
do?
Shoot them to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Krull, I don't know.
What can you say about Krull? You know, speaking of Hulu, I was just speaking with one of my friends about the show Jack of All Trades.
Yes.
That starring, you know, the illustrious Bruce Campbell. And we were talking about, you know, how great it was, you know, in that, you know, B action show sort of way. And I actually brought up another show that he had to look into, or that I recommended he look into. And I don't know if you remember it, but it was on, I think, Fox in like the very early 90s. It was called Mantis.
Mantis. I think I've seen the opening of that, but I haven't really actually seen the whole show.
Okay. The reason I say it is because it was like primarily about like discrimination. Like, you know how Bryan Singer basically turned like the first two X-Men movies into like metaphors for homosexuality and like oppression. Okay, that's basically what this show was, but it was like towards black people and cripples.
Oh yeah.
And it tried to like equate them as being one and the same at times, and it was like very, very awkward. But it was actually a fairly okay action slash sci-fi show, and they just put the entire season, because there only was one season, on Hulu.
Oh, man.
So definitely look into that.
We have to put that first episode up for Everything Action Theater.
I really hope you do, because I think there are people out there that could only benefit from seeing especially that pilot.
Actually, speaking of Everything Action Theater, I just put up today the original Death Wish.
I saw that, actually.
So you can go to everythingaction.com and watch Death Wish right now.
In fact, as an Everything Action fan and as a Charles Bronson fan, I retweeted that today.
Awesome.
So you're welcome.
Thank you.
You're very
welcome.
You're
the only one who does that.
So all 115 of my followers will indefinitely ignore that.
Awesome.
Oh, yes. But yeah, if you haven't seen Death Wish, I mean, what are you seeing? It's just like the Bronson movie. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to do it for show and tell. So why don't we move into the news?
Sweet.
Weekly trailer talk. We have a couple trailers this week. First up, AMC officially released the Walking Dead trailer.
Yes.
So what do you think, Joe?
I think it's going to be great.
I'm ridiculously excited.
As am I. I mean, I saw like a grainy, I guess like pirated video from the Comic-Con floor. And I was excited for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now that it's in like, you know, glorious QuickTime, it's just so much better, so much more enjoyable. And, I am truly excited for it. I think AMC does a phenomenal job with their original programming. And, I mean, I just love them as a channel in general, because especially over the last 5 years, like they're showing, you know, movies that I hold dear to me. That, you know, you sort of can't openly admit to liking
like,
as American movie classics.
Like, They Live. They start showing
yes.
in, like, pretty much every Stallone movie. Every Seagal movie.
Every Stallone movie. Every Seagal movie. I mean, Friday nights, they do horror, and they have things like Motel Hell. And, like, you know, it's basically a channel that whose idea of horror, not that I don't like Friday the 13th, but isn't just a, you know, annual Friday the 13th marathon.
Do you get Chiller? Chiller Channel, Joe?
You know, I do, but my problem with Chiller is that I used to have, and I don't know if anyone out there remembers this, if you were a Cablevision customer, but for a while we had the Voom Networks, which had Kung Fu HD and the best HD channel of all time, Monsters HD, which was full 1080p up conversions of horror movies. And I mean everything from the original Psycho to all of the Friday the 13th, to Killer Clowns from Outer Space, to some movie made in Mexico with Alice Cooper about people turning into dogs.
Oh,
not wolves, but dogs. You know what? We'll talk about that in October.
Yeah.
And Chris will back me up, because he used to come over to my house to watch that.
Awesome.
So, I mean, it was beautiful. So I like Chiller, but compared to what I used to have, it's just a letdown sometimes.
Yeah. Well, they should tell us from the Crypt, so...
Yeah, well, that's very cool. I mean, Chiller Theater was like, my mom talked about Chiller Theater, like the original one that used to be on late at night and would like, you know, show horror movies and would scare the crap out of little kids. So like, it's cool that they're keeping that alive,
but,
you know, and I know the Chiller name means a lot to a lot of people. So, you know, right on.
They're like a sister channel of Sci-Fi Channel, right? I think it's like,
yeah,
I think it's like Sleuth, Chiller and Sci-Fi.
Yeah,
like,
I was
like
just
going
to say
USA and Sci-Fi are like all the same.
Yeah. Yeah, but
like NBC Universal owns all of them.
NBC Universal owns like a lot.
They do. Like just like
they really
like,
do.
Just go to Hulu and like look at all those companies. It's pretty much like NBC or Fox owns one of those.
I know. It's kind of scary,
yeah.
But you know, good for Hulu, I guess.
So back to The Walking Dead.
Yes,
it's gonna premiere on Halloween.
Perfect.
Like 10 o'clock on Sunday Halloween night. And
isn't it like a 90-minute pilot,
yep,
too?
Yep, 90-minute first episode.
Oh, God. That's a feature film.
Yep. And it's already been confirmed for a second season.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know
that. It came out today, actually.
That's probably because a story just came out today about Thomas Jane saying that he was, like, super excited for it. And people are like, my God, he was the Punisher. If he's excited, then most 18 to 34-year-old males are going to be excited. Let's greenlight it. Mm-hmm. That's how it happened. Don't fight me.
You should probably talk about, like, Frank Darabont or something. About Miss Stewart. Miss Two gets mistier.
Yes. Mister. Excellent.
All right, so that's that. That was that trailer. And then also the other trailer that came out last week was the 127 Hours trailer, which is the new Danny Boyle movie starring James Franco about the true story of hiker Aaron Ralston, who got trapped under a boulder and had to cut his own arm off, then walk like 8 miles to like get rescued. So the thing about this trailer that I thought was it's super upbeat for a trailer about a story about a guy who cuts his own arm off.
Yeah, it's an unquestionably it's like, grim tale.
It's like a I don't know, it's like a Mountain Dew commercial or something.
You know, I admit I watched this about, you know, 45 seconds before we started the podcast, and I remember talking with you while I was watching mm-hmm. it. And being like, there's 30 seconds left in the trailer and nothing bad has happened yet. So it seriously looks more like James Franco's, like, day out more than, you know, dude who nearly dies and overcomes great odds.
Yeah.
Like, they sort of paint him as, like, a douchey guy who just, like, falls down a cliff thing.
And, like...
And it's like, okay.
tries to pick up random chicks hiking through a canyon.
Yeah. It's like, hey, girls, you're lost. I'm a man. I'll take care of you.
I can guide you.
Maybe I'll get something out of it. And then he, like, falls down a cliff.
Yeah.
And we're just, and they just sort of leave you at that.
It's like...
Like, it's sort of like, yeah, you might want to see this movie.
Every second counts.
Every second counts.
Yep. From the director of, from the director of Slumdog Millionaire.
You might have seen Slumdog Millionaire.
Trainspotting, 28 Days Later.
Yeah, and they actually showed, like, Cillian Murphy in this trailer. When they flashed, like, 28 Days Later, they show Cillian Murphy. I was like, why are you doing that? This is a new film.
Does he have to, like, the hiker have to, like, cut his own arm off before zombies eat him?
I get, you know what, that's the movie I want to see. Let's do a mashup of 127 Hours, Slumdog Millionaire, and 28 Days Later. And fuck it, let's throw in some witty banter from Trainspotting.
And then like the crazy like Russian monster guy from Sunshine shows up.
Yeah, all the more. Yep. All the merrier. Let's do it.
The ultimate Danny Boyle movie.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I'm not too excited about that one.
No, nor I, sir, nor I.
I think it comes out in, like, November.
It doesn't matter.
November, October, I don't know.
It, one of those months. It
it's like,
just doesn't.
It's like his like, post-Oscar, I don't really care, I'm just going to do another movie.
I can do the first movie script that I get movie. Yeah.
So, slightly more exciting news, actually super exciting news. Nike just patented Power Lace shoes. So that we will finally be living in the future that is Back to the Future 2.
I was so excited by that. I really was. There's no sarcasm involved in that at all. When I read that, I just was filled with this warm blanket of happiness.
It's like, where can I pre-order them?
I know, seriously.
They're $100? Okay.
Yeah, it's probably going to be like $100 a shoe, yeah, but yeah. Whatever. I mean, just because it's Nike and it's like, yo, son, those new Power Laces just dropped today. Oh, snap.
I just wanted to make like horrendous amount of like whirring noises and stuff. Just like.
Yeah, I actually heard that they spark when you run. So
awesome.
That should be kind of cool.
As long as they have like lights in the heel, too.
Oh, yes. LA light style.
Yep.
Or LA gear. Yeah.
And like a wheel.
Those. It's just like the ultimate novelty shoe.
Yep. Yeah, so the question is, when are we going to get hoverboards, though?
Now, one at a time, sir.
I know.
One at a time.
We're 5 years away from Back to the Future 2, though.
I guess.
It was 2015, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, the people have made hoverboards. I don't mean to really, like, show my, you know, geek cards here, but, you know, there are people like MIT who have used, like, super fans. you know, like, and by super fans, I mean ultra powerful fans and like six or seven of them.
Yeah.
And it's not so much like a hovering skateboard as it is like
a big platform
that can like float. Yeah. But, you know, all I'm going to say is Steve Jobs is a very frugal businessman, mm-hmm. and I know that he knows that people want hoverboards. So I'm sure before you know it, we'll have the iBoard.
With like a touchscreen.
Exactly. Well, yeah, it'll be great. It'll be like one of those big like pianos that are on the floor at like Chuck E. Cheese that you run across and it makes a noise.
Yes.
Like you can use the touchscreen with your feet. Oh, it's going to – you know what? That's going to happen now. I guarantee it. And in 5 years, I'm going to be like, fuck, my idea.
Yeah, mail it to yourself.
Yeah.
You have to like buy apps for like steering and stuff.
Yeah, that'd be great. The power steering app. Shit, I can't believe I didn't get that.
It's a GPS. Yeah.
And a planner. Awesome.
So who knows when those are coming out, but I want one right now. I want some right now.
Yeah. As do I. I can't wait to see the color options on those.
I think it's probably just gray. Like movie gray. Nah,
it's Nike. They'll have like, you know,
blue,
the power lace Jordans and like the power lace Jordans.
Oh, we forgot to mention it's gotta have pumps too. It's gotta have like a pump on it.
Unquestionably, it's got to have pumps. I don't want them if they don't have pumps.
The ugliest, awesomest shoes ever.
Yes.
All right, so next story is that there's an Iron Fist movie in production right now. Or, like, they're writing a screenplay for it right now. So, Joe, you're a Marvel fan.
I am.
Are you excited for an Iron Fist movie?
I am, and I'm not, to be honest with you. I've, you know, I guess this is me being a bad comic book nerd here, but I've always felt that there are some superheroes that translate particularly well to the film medium, like Batman, Superman, Iron Man, Spider-Man, basically everything that's been done to this point. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that there aren't some superhero movies out there that I'd love to see, but I just think that there are some where you're going to have a really hard time selling it to the average Joe moviegoer, because I don't think that Marvel Studios, as you know, a movie studio, is at the point where they have loyalists who aren't necessarily, you know, comic book geeks. So what I mean by that is there are some people that are like very loyal to like Warner Brothers, you know, and they'll be like, oh, the new Warner Brothers movie is out, like I want to see that,
mm-hmm.
because they make really great films. So I think that unless you're dealing with, you know, Marvel loyalists or, you know, Iron Fist fans, I can't really see too many average people that just want to go see a movie looking at, you know, the marquee and being like, yeah, Iron Fist, I want to see that.
And not like chuckling.
Exactly. Or you know, without being like, what the hell is that? Like, what's an Iron Fist?
Yeah. And also,
you know, and I'm not saying, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, there's already been like so many like martial arts movies over the years, like, because mm-hmm. like that's pretty much Iron Fist's whole thing, is like he's like the world's greatest martial artist.
Yeah,
and he has like indestructible fists,
which helps.
Yeah,
when you're
it does.
Martial
so,
yeah, yeah.
So I don't know how like how they like make it like they have to like really make it different from like everything else that came before it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, and one other thing about what I was saying about like how some superheroes are just like very inclined to translating well mm-hmm. into film. There was a story not too long ago about Marvel doing short films
yeah.
before their big films. And I was very excited about that because I think that would be the perfect medium for superheroes like, you know, Iron Fist or maybe Black Panther. You know, superheroes that are great and have great storytelling behind them and great characters and are just, you know, solid Marvel characters, but that don't necessarily need to have an hour and a half feature film or can't – like, or that studios can't justify like taking a risk,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Because with Black Panther or a superhero like Black Panther, I mean, that's – not a super well-known superhero in the public eye. So, you know, putting millions and millions of dollars into a feature film for him doesn't really make sense to investors. You know, it's definitely a gamble. It could pay off, And I'm sure Marvel could do a great Black Panther movie, but I just don't think that we'll see one.
Mm-hmm.
So my first surprise was Thor, and so far it looks like they've done a phenomenal job with it. So I really hope that Iron Fist follows in that whole, like, you know, sleeper success that Thor looks like it's going
to
be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like to see, like, a 15-minute just, like, awesome fight scene with Iron Fist before, like, Iron Man 3 or whatever.
Yeah. No, I hear you 110% on that.
Just have, like, an awesome martial arts guy, like Ray Park or something, just, like...
Yeah, I mean, you know what? For an 11-minute or 15-minute, like, short film, it doesn't even need a story. It could just be... It could literally be Iron Fist just kicking the crap out of, like, hundreds of enemies.
It could, yeah.
Hundreds of enemies. Like Luke... And then in the end, just, like, zoom in on his face, you know, and then have it say, Iron Fist.
Or just have, like, Luke Cage show up.
Yeah.
In, like, an afro.
It's like, I heard you were serving fools.
Michael Jai White shows up.
Yeah, that'd be so excellent. It would be great if Michael Jai White was Luke Cage, but they just had him play Black Dynamite,
yeah.
And they just called him Luke Cage. That'd be excellent.
It would.
I'd be so into that.
All right, so moving on. Also, speaking of Marvel, Fantastic Four reboot possibly in the works. So hot on the heels of the Spider-Man reboot, they're like, they want to, like, I think it's Fox wants to keep, like, the Fantastic Four license, so they're scrambling to make another Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, you know, I read a while back that they were scrambling to reboot Daredevil also, and what really sucks about this for comic book fans is that Fox isn't doing this because they feel that the Fantastic Four, you know, is a very admired comic book series that has been around forever and that is essential to the whole, like, mythology of the Marvel universe. It's not about that, and it's not about the fans. It's about Fox doesn't want to risk losing a chance to make money, so they're going to put out a reboot to something that doesn't need to be rebooted as fast as they possibly can.
It kind of doesn't need to be rebooted.
Okay, I agree with you on that, but here's the difference. If it were Marvel rebooting it, I'd say, yes, this is a true reboot, and we get to see things done the proper way. Like, it's in Marvel's hands. Whereas with Fox, they need to have certain things approved by Marvel, but at the end of the day, it's Fox's movie, mm-hmm. and they could basically do whatever they want with it. Now, I could be totally wrong here, and they could come out with a great reboot, and it could be a fantastic movie, pun intended, and I really hope that that's the case. I do, but I would be a lot more excited for it if it were a Marvel Studios-produced reboot of the Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm. So, like, there's a couple rumors, like, out this week. They said casting for Mr. Fantastic, they're looking at Adrian Brody or Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
I could see Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
I could certainly see him as Mr. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Then they said for Sue Storm, Amber Heard or Alice Eve.
Hmm. I don't know. I don't know about that one. As long as it's not Jessica Alba, I'm basically fine with it.
I'm an Alice Eve fan, so.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I have nothing against Jessica Alba. I thought she was great in Sin City, but I just don't think she worked as, you know, Sue Storm, that's all.
I'm just a sucker for British accent, so.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm. And they also said that The Thing is probably going to be CG.
Well, I'd like to hope so.
Because that was kind of bad.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, that was terrible. Let's be honest. You know, especially because it just seemed like a orange Michael Chiklis. You know, it didn't even seem like The Thing. I was like, hey,
like
what's Michael Chiklis doing there at the Fantastic Four?
The Roger Corman version was kind of better than the new version.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, God, that was terrible too.
It was.
I you know what? I'm a lot more optimistic with a CG thing. And the reason I say that is because CG, you know, even though it's not the same and always will look kind of fake, has definitely come a long way. And the prime example of that is if you look at The Incredible Hulk versus Hulk.
Yep.
Just it leaps and bounds. It was so much better, and there was only like a 7 or 8 year difference.
Not even
really. Not even between
like
the two.
Maybe five, I think. I don't know.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, wow. What the is wrong with me? Math skills, people. I mean, I think the more recent incarnation of Hulk looked much better. Much, much better. And, I mean, obviously Hulk is someone that, you know, it has to be CG. And I think that, you know, Thing is, or the Thing is the same way.
Mm-hmm. So, last story of the week is news about Kick-Ass 2, which, Joe, you're excited about.
I'm excited to see what they do with it, to be honest with you, because I thought that Kick-Ass, you know, the way it was a great one-off movie and a great adaptation on its own. But, you know, I guess I'm just bitter that Nicolas Cage won't be in
yeah.
it because, oh, man, nothing quite like a Nicolas Cage movie.
Well, they have, like, McLovin will be the big bad guy.
Even better.
I'm not, like, I don't even know what they would do with that.
Yeah, neither do I, to be totally honest with you. I mean,
would McLovin, like build up, like, an army of, like, other supervillains or something? Or, like, just, like, more, just become, like, a mafia person or something?
He'd build up an army of angsty teenage misfits that want to battle Kick-Ass
yep.
and Hit-Girl. I don't know. I think one Kick-Ass is more than enough for me. But
are they going to do like a comic too with it? Or?
Well, I'm sure they will, just because, you know, that would be a good opportunity for the comic book studio itself to, you know, make some money
mm-hmm.
off of it. But, you know, I don't know. That's Mark Millar is certainly capable of great writing and great comics. So if they give it to him or if it's his choice to make, then, you know,
mm-hmm.
I guess we'll have to see what he gives us. But if not, then we'll know it's just like a novelty to try to make more money.
So that's going to do it for news this week. So I'm going to get into the new release roundup. If you're a fan of TV, there's a crap load of TV DVDs out this week.
You're not kidding.
So the aforementioned Sons of Anarchy Season 2 is out. House MD Season 6 is out. Exciting. Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married 2?
Yeah, not the first one, people. This is 2. 2.
But it's like, it's T-O-O, so it's funny. So it's like, Why Did I Get Married 2? I don't know.
Meaning as well.
Yeah. Except Tyler Perry, he's a witty motherfucker.
Yes.
So also is Vampire Diaries Season 1. Which is like CW, it's like even more watered down Twilight, I've heard.
Yeah, I can't say I've seen it.
I haven't seen either.
I think it's one of those shows where you get it.
I try to avoid CW like the plague, but.
Yeah, since Birds of Prey. I've tried to avoid that
uh-huh.
one.
So also, Brothers and Sisters Season 4, which I don't know what that show is, but.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I had an ex-girlfriend who watched it, and I couldn't be bothered with it.
It's an ABC drama, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, with, like, I think the mom from Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, wait. So. Sally Field?
Yeah, that bitch.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think Rob Lowe was in that show for a little bit, too. I'm not sure, but.
You got me.
we're talking way too much about that show.
Yeah, fuck
so,
it.
So, also out. Marmaduke.
Yeah.
And it's like 3 months. It's like not even 3 months since it got released in theaters.
I didn't realize that it wasn't in theaters anymore. And now it's already being released on
mm-hmm.
DVD and Blu-ray.
I just remember that trailer was just like one of the most awful things I've ever seen in my life. Like the first trailer was just like, let's get songs with California in the title and just like play them. So it's like Tupac, California.
Oh, man.
It's just like, he is spinning in his grave right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't see him not.
That is.
I mean, that loses street cred right there.
So, also out is Flash Forward, the complete series, because it got canceled.
It sure did.
I love on, like, the DVD cover, it says 4 stars, but no shit, like, who gave it 4 stars?
Oh, isn't that the best?
So, it's like, It seems like ABC is giving it 4 stars, even though they canceled it.
Oh, yeah. That's almost as great as when they take, like, out-of-context quotes from, like, Roger Ebert, where they're like, Roger Ebert says, this is, ... a movie, with an exclamation point. And it's yes. Like, wow, it is a movie.
That is factually
accurate. I'll have to rent this.
So, also, is NCIS Los Angeles Season 1, which is the long-awaited pairing of LL Cool J and Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah, I was waiting for a long time for that.
Mm-hmm. Which, also, it also has a horrible DVD cover.
Yeah, most of those, you know, lettered show, like, covers aren't very inventive. It's like cast ensemble over a, you know, skyline. You know, it's just like small faces over a city. And it's like, oh, I guess the show is about these people in this city. Oh, okay. I feel like I've got the background now.
So something actually exciting came out this week. Harry Brown, starring Michael Caine,
is sitting in my living room waiting to be watched.
Awesome.
I cannot wait.
Maybe we'll hear about that next week.
Oh, you most certainly will.
It's like Michael Caine's version of Death Wish.
That's exactly what it is. It's the British Death Wish.
Yeah, and then, like, Michael Caine is awesome and everything, so.
Oh, yeah, he's a great actor. Mm. So, I mean, I'm not expecting much in the action department. That's not to say that it won't, you know,
I heard he shoots a lot of people.
Exactly.
Or quite a few people, so.
Exactly. I'm thinking this will be more along the lines of the later Death Wish movies and not necessarily, you know.
Not like Death Wish 3.
Insert Jet Li movie here, you know?
I was going to say like Death Wish 3 where he's like got a bazooka. He's like,
yeah.
Just running around for like no reason.
No dice. Yeah, he's just like walking down the street with it. People are like, oh, guess he's up to no good again.
I'm addicted to killing now.
Yeah. It's my anti-drugs. Yes.
So also is the Red Riding Trilogy, which is like this British film series about like this, it's like three different movies about like, but they're all interconnected. But this like serial killer, I guess, or something. It's got like good reviews. So
yeah, Amazon recommended that to me, and at first I was mad at Amazon for invading my privacy, and then I later forgave it and decided to look into it.
They keep popping up on my Netflix Instant Watch. Like you should watch Red Riding.
You might like. It's like, well, I might not like it.
It's like, because, like,
how dare you?
Dark, suspenseful thriller movies.
Goofy British comedies. It's like, wait, what? Why is this popping up?
Netflix adjectives are, like, the greatest.
Quirky romance starring Sandra Bullock. God damn it.
Oh, man.
You watch Miss Congeniality once, and Netflix never lets you live it down.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, I think Chris fucks up your Netflix queue a lot.
I know. I'm getting shown like Nickelodeon cartoons. It's like, you might like Rocko's Modern Life. You might like Cannibal Holocaust. I'm like, oh my god. Could we at least like stay in one direction? Like, people, please.
All right, and then the last thing out this week is The Evil Dead on Blu-ray.
Finally.
Which I think, how many DVD versions of that movie did it have? Like. Six?
Too many.
Six or seven?
Too many. Far too many.
Yeah. I know Army of Darkness is already on Blu-ray, so I think, I'm not sure about Evil Dead 2, but, so this is the first one for Evil Dead. Which is the actual creepy one.
Yeah, I mean, the first Evil Dead was, you know, really actually pretty terrifying. You know, just in terms of, like, how screwed up it was and everything, especially when it was first released, yeah. There was nothing else out like Evil Dead. But the second one was, you know, we know what it is.
Slightly more goofy.
Yeah.
And then Army of Darkness is just like, watch Bruce Campbell be all Three Stooges. So moving on to our special feature of the week. Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Go, 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 go. Go, ninja, go, ninja, go. It is the 20th anniversary of one of our favorite movies, American Ninja.
Two of my favorite things, America and ninjas.
Yes, just combined. It's like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich of awesome.
Yes.
So we thought we'd talk about our favorite ninjas or ninja movies or whatever, anything ninja related. So
ninjas, ninjutsu, whatever.
Yeah. So why don't we start out with American Ninja, the anniversary movie? Just completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just like the wonderful like 80s. We're obsessed with martial arts right now. We're obsessed with ninjas right now, so we're gonna make ninja movies.
Yeah, they were. Martial arts was it's like a meal ticket in the 80s, man.
It was like Karate Kid came out, and it was like, everyone's got to learn karate.
Karate Kid, and then, like, you know, obviously Kickboxer and Bloodsport because of Van Damme, but, like, Best of the Best and anything Chuck Norris, just, like, wow. I mean, now, I guess you could say, and now we're in the last few years, it's been, like, step up. Step
Dance.
Up again. Drumline, like stuff like that, where it's like angsty urban dance movies,
urban music,
exactly. But it's not even like urban music. It's like, hey man, you played Chopin like no one else, but you're from a gang country.
Drumline is so awesome in like
every
possible awesome way, bad way possible.
Agreed.
Like the drum duel, like they hold each other, like the drumsticks are each other's neck at the end.
Yeah,
Right.
I have no words for Drumline.
back to ninjas.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Michael Dudikoff is the star of American Ninja.
The Duty Man.
So, that's pretty much all he did, was like the American Ninja movies.
Yeah, actually. You'd be hard-pressed to find him in anything else.
Mm-hmm. For good reason.
Oh, for excellent reason. I mean, American Ninja, I mean, it'll always be a guilty pleasure, but, I mean, I don't really see that as being, like, an American classic in terms of, like, you know, I don't think they're going to put that in the time capsule with, like, Citizen Kane and Casablanca.
It's not going to get Criterion Collection edition.
Right. Unless someone at Criterion Collection is like, you know, fuck it, I'm quitting. No. Before I quit. I'm going to really stick it up their asses.
I love ninjas with lasers on their wrists.
Yeah, that...
The Black Star Ninja.
Black Star Ninja.
And I also just love, like, the whole scene where, like, the evil, like, drug dealer guys is like, this is my ninja training camp. He's like showing off to his, like, investors.
Yeah, oh, wow.
That scene is just... It's like ninjas just, like, flipping over, like, jumping on trampolines and, like... fight each other and just like jump climbing walls. It's like everything you could possibly want from ninja is going on.
Totally. That will always remind me of and I guess that's where this is where Three Ninjas took it from, but on like Snyder's boat when they're on that like oil tanker thing at the end of the movie. And he's like, look boys, these are where I train my ninjas. And they're just like climbing up ropes and like doing sit-ups, and it's like okay, where did you find these guys? Like, did you put out, like, a classifieds ad? Why are they on a tanker? Like, shouldn't they be in, like, the mountains of Japan? No? Okay. I guess being able to do 20 sit-ups and being dressed like a ninja makes you a ninja. Mm-hmm. So, whoever made that movie had seen American Ninja.
Definitely.
At least once.
Especially, like... Because, like, in American Ninja, like, it's, like, just, like, a rainbow of ninjas. It's, like, green ninjas, yeah. Yellow ninjas, red ninjas.
Oh, yeah.
And then just, like, the ridiculous, like, end battle where, like, Michael Dudikoff finally gets, like, his ninja outfit on and, like, fights the Blackstar Ninja. And the Blackstar Ninja has, just, like, every gadget you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
Like, guns, lasers, smoke bombs.
Which... only the smoke bombs are inherently, you know, ninja people. Like, come on.
Yeah. Like, you think the movie's ridiculous, and then, like, he pulls out a laser, and you're just like, okay.
It's laser time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then...
I don't know.
Yeah, then the other movie I, like, remember, like, kind of, like, on the same level as American Ninja is Enter the Ninja. Have you seen that one, Joe?
I have not.
Have you at least seen, like, the clip of, like... the guy getting hit with a throwing star. I think it's...
I don't think I have.
It's like, there's like the montage on YouTube with just like the worst movie scenes ever. And that one's like always in the list.
Oh, man. I'm intrigued now. That sounds good.
It's on Hulu. You can watch the whole movie on Hulu.
Well, sorry, Harry Brown.
Possibly Netflix as
but
well.
But I'll be entering the ninja tonight.
And then I can't remember the guy's name, which is like just the whitest guy you could ever possibly imagine as the ninja. He's like an awesome 70s porn stash and just like...
Nice.
Like the poor man's Chuck Norris pretty much is what he is.
Wow.
So he's just like running around like... fighting off like these guys who want to like steal his friend's farm or something.
Mm-hmm.
And like the final battle is like he fights off a bunch of like evil I don't even know if it's evil ninjas or just like goons. But then like the
other ninjas.
Yeah.
They don't have to be evil. It's just like, hey, you're a ninja and you're not me. Let's duel.
So then he's facing off like the bad guy. So he throws a ninja star into the guy's chest and he's just like, it's in slow motion. And he's like, oh. And then, like, he's falling, and, like, he just gives, like, this shrug, just like, oh, what? He sort of gives this shrug of, like, what the fuck, man? You just threw a ninja star at my chest. Oh, well. He just dies.
Yeah.
Go on YouTube and search for, like, internet ninja death scene, and it's hilarious.
Can I just say, I was just on Netflix looking under instant for the word ninja, and not only did I find... the majority of the 5 American Ninja movies.
Of course.
Yeah. However, I also found, and this intrigues me, Irish American Ninja.
It's like Boondock Saints plus like American Ninja or something.
I guess so. This looks like it was made by the same people that made Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter. So,
oh, man.
We'll see how this one goes.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
That sounds like a Chris is going to torture Brian and I movie.
Yeah, actually it does. You might want to edit that out. because after training in Japan to be a ninja, Irish-American George McGoogle, yes, his last name is McGoogle.
Awesome.
And this movie was made in 2005. So it's not even like Google wasn't around yet. And he's played by Bill Sebastian, who also wrote and directed the film.
Awesome.
So he meets his long-lost evil ninja brother and learns about a dark family secret. So all this and more can be yours if you watch Irish American Ninja.
So, you know, speaking of recent ninja movies.
Yes.
Ninja Assassin.
Ninja Assassin.
Is horrible.
Yeah, it was pretty... awful, actually.
It takes, like, everything you know about ninjas and just, like, twilights it, kind of.
Yeah. It's really, at its core, it's a romance, which, not cool.
No, it's just, like, ninjas, like, become literally shadows, like, shadow creatures, and, like, talking, like, whispers from Lost, and...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and they can, like, heal themselves and stuff.
Yeah, that was a little bit too much for me. I mean, I think the best recent, I guess, like, version of ninjas in a movie would be, I mean, if you watch Batman Begins.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that scene where Liam Neeson is talking to Christian Bale about how invisibility is a matter of, like, patience and agility, and the ninjas just sort of pop out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like, to me... that wasn't, like, cheesy. I thought that was really well done. And, you know, just those guys in general that weren't, like, necessarily randomly training to be ninjas just for the hell of it, but because they're, like, political sort of idealists and stuff, like, I thought that was pretty cool. And I thought it worked really well. I wasn't like, ninjas, oh, man, that's lame.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, that great scene where, like, Christian Bale's, like, trying to figure out, like, where Liam Neeson is and, like, the row of just, like, 50 ninjas.
Yeah, that was very cool.
So he's just, like, slicing people's arms and stuff.
Yeah.
So, let's see, I'm going to go back to the 80s with
yes.
Chuck Norris, The Octagon.
The Octagon. It's not just a name for your penis anymore.
Which...
yeah, that movie, oh boy. Best movie cover of all time.
Definitely.
In my opinion.
Which the movie sadly does not live up to, but...
no.
But I just, me and Brian just, like, constantly quote that scene where, like, Chuck Norris walks into the room and, like, people are, like, dead and, like, it's all trash. You can hear his, like, inner monologue. He's just like, oh, my God. Ninjas! But they don't exist anymore.
Yeah, that was terrible at best.
Yeah. And, like, wasn't the whole Octagon thing just, like, they're, like, a ninja training camp or something?
Something along those lines.
There's always...
I can't remember if it was just a training camp or, like, some weird tournament thing, too.
Yeah, I think...
Not necessarily, like, a tournament, but it's, like, here we train and then kill each other.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, good.
So, also Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris Karate Commandos.
Yes.
The Super Ninja.
Oh, man.
With his, just, like, luxurious head of hair. That comes up somehow comes to his mask.
Those were some super duper ninjas.
They were. Well, just it was the super ninja, and there's just like random ninjas with him, like underling ninjas.
Oh yes. I mean, in general, I mean just super duper ninjas on Karate Commandos.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when they brought that back on Adult Swim and showed it at like 4:30 in the morning.
It was April Fools when they started first did it.
I know.
They put that in Mr. T, the cartoon.
You know what? I'm guilty of DVRing those and watching them, so
Mr.
I guess
T.
The joke's on me.
T-Force.
Oh, God. That and the Rambo cartoon?
Oh, my God, huh. Yeah. Well, the 80s...
Totally awesome.
The 80s was just like, what celebrity can we turn to a cartoon? And like, what horribly inappropriate R-rated movie can we turn to a cartoon?
Without a doubt.
Just like RoboCop cartoon. Like,
oh, Police yeah. Academy that cartoon. Toxic Police Academy, Toxic Crusaders. Yeah. Very, very strange decade that I was privileged enough to be born in.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see, what are some other ninjas? Oh.
I was a fan of the Surf Ninjas.
Oh, the Surf Ninjas, yes.
Ernie Reyes Jr. and Sr., Rob Schneider,
yep.
Leslie Nielsen. Excellent movie. That's totally a guilty pleasure for me.
The Magical Game Gear.
Oh, yes. The Magical Game Gear. I remember having a Game Gear when that movie came out, and I was like, no way. I was like, it does that? Oh, yes. I still think one of the best lines in reference to a ninja in any movie ever is after their dad's like hamburger stand gets attacked, and Rob Schneider says... Their camouflage gives them a chameleon-like ability to blend into their surroundings.
Oh, God.
I don't know why, but that gets me every time. Mm-hmm. Just gets me every time.
Yeah, that would be so weird.
Yeah, and I love that the ninjas have, like, invaded all of the entire infrastructure of, like, the state of California. Like, they're garbage men. They're, like,
yep.
Local, like, cooks. Like, they're just everywhere you go. And there's never, like, one ninja. It's not like, hey, there they are. It's, like, 60 ninjas. They just, like, come out of nowhere.
It's a ninja flash mob just, like, around these kids.
Exactly. They just, like, oh, man.
We're surfing on the beach. Oh, God, ninjas!
Yeah. He's been under these waves for days waiting for us.
Oh, man. So kind of, you know, kind of, like, what inspired Surf Ninjas? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Undoubtedly.
Yes. And, like, ninjas, I mean, of course you have the turtles, but you also have the Foot Clan.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, really the most notorious ninja of them all, I mean, Master Shredder.
Yeah.
Like, if...
Orokosaki!
If he's not a ninja, what is he?
Orokosaki.
Yes.
I just love, like, in the first movie, just, like, the Foot Clan's grand plan is just, like, steal VCRs and TVs.
Yeah, and the generic 80s crime wave is sweeping New York.
Like, provide like, the teenage youth of New York City with, like, a bad boys machine and, like, bad dudes machine, like, a skate park.
And, like, cigarettes. Yep. Oh, that was awesome, man. I remember, like, watching that movie when I was little and being like, man, you know what? If I ever run away, I'm gonna run away to a place like that.
Yep.
Where it's, like, cool kids who, like, teach me how to, like, skateboard and be a ninja. Like, I mean, I'm sorry. I think I would have rather done that than have gone to college. Because it's like, okay, I'm going to pay upwards of $40,000 a year to basically be, like, happy at best when I could be learning to be a ninja and, like, getting whatever I want for free.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, what's the big deal? Like, I'm a bad guy. Ooh.
You
I'm a fucking ninja, dude.
You get random beatings from, like, that master, whatever. I can't remember. Soku or something, or master.
Nobody remembers his name. He's just the ninja vanish guy. Yep. But, you know, whatever. I would have worked for him.
Yeah. And then, of course, like, on the cartoon, like, the Foot Clan was all robots.
Well, yeah. I mean...
Incompetent robots.
Very incompetent.
Until Turtles Forever.
Yeah. You know, I loved that animated series so much. That first one.
Yep.
Oh, God. And can I say, because I think, you know, marketing, obviously, for children's things is a huge aspect of what makes a successful children's show. Without a doubt, the original Ninja Turtles animated series, some of the best, like, toys and merchandise
mm-hmm. yep.
for any kid's thing ever. I mean, they had everything from, like, the van to, like, just ridiculous things, like, you know.
The pizza shooter.
Pizza shooter, like, Hawaiian vacation Michelangelo, yep. who was wearing, like, a pink Hawaiian shirt and came with, like, a straw hat and, like.
I just remember, like, later, like, it's just, like, Universal Monsters Turtles.
Yeah.
Star Trek
it's like,
turtles.
Why would they ever be this? I don't care. Let's just get it.
Circus Turtles.
It's fine. Yeah, they did everything. But, yeah, the Ninja Turtles, I mean, I don't know if they're more ninja than turtle, but they're fine with me.
Well, the comics turtles are definitely, like, ninjas.
Oh, without a doubt.
They'll fuck everyone up.
They do. Unquestionably. And, I mean, they're more uniform, too, in the sense that they all just looked like Raphael.
Yeah.
Like, their bodies were a bit, like, different, and they obviously had different weapons, but yeah, the comic Ninja Turtles were pretty dark, actually.
Well, like, they kill, like, people on, like, the first page.
Yeah. I mean, that's okay with me, I guess, but I sort of prefer the movie and cartoon that, Ninja Turtles.
Why aren't they eating pizza?
I know. Yeah, exactly. It's like, what? Why do they want justice so bad?
So, trying to think of some.
The three ninjas.
Well, yeah, we kind of talked about that before.
As we alluded to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rocky, Tum Tum, and Colt.
Colt. Yep.
And then trained by their Asian grandpa for some reason. Somehow their grandpa's Asian.
Who is like the poor man's Mr. Miyagi, but
well, he's,
I think is
well, he's,
just as inspirational.
He's Egg from Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah. But, I mean. He was just, like, a great mentor character.
Yeah.
You know? Like, even now watching it, I'm like, hey, you know, he was pretty well-developed and, like, well-done. Like, especially for a kid's movie, like, whoever wrote him, like, I don't know. He was, like, I'd put him up there with Mickey from, like, the Rocky movies. And I'm totally serious when I say that, too. Like, I know there are a lot of people that look at like, you know, at Mickey as, like, you know, just like a whacked out old man, but if like you really watch the Rocky movies for like, you know, the drama, at least the first two
mm-hmm.
were intended to be
yep.
like, Mickey's a driving factor in those movies. And while I'm not saying they're on the same level, I just think that like, you know, whoever wrote the grandfather part for the at least the first three ninjas really had an understanding of like, you know, what you need to motivate characters and like make connections.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, the clash with, like, their dad.
Oh, yeah.
Who was like, I don't want the kids to learn karate.
Dad was an asshole in that movie.
Wasn't
he, like, a detective or something?
He worked for the FBI.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The whole first
yeah,
scene
yeah.
of that movie is, like, Snyder's, like, warehouse, like, on the dock is, like, raided by the FBI. And then, like, 40 ninjas drop from the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, how did we not see that? I guess early 90s FBI intel was just awful.
Yeah.
It was based on, like, hearsay and, like, what you could see with binoculars. It's like, yeah, it looks empty. Let's go.
Well, I think they put all their funding into, like, crazy, like, projects, like, changing people's faces.
Yeah. And super long distance walkie-talkies.
Yep. And then, like, Three Ninjas 2 was okay.
It was okay, but they started, like, changing the actors.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was a different Tum Tum, but the same Colt and Rocky. And, like, I don't even really remember what happens.
Well,
in...
the grandpa has, like, a sword or something, like, a ancient sword, and, like, his rival
right.
in Japan comes and steals it.
who looks like strikingly similar to him.
Yeah,
I know. There's that like tournament, and they meet the tough girl. Yeah, now I remember
like,
it.
I think it's like similar like Karate Kid too, because like they like come to an understanding at the end. They're like, oh, I'm gonna drop our rivalry.
Yeah,
actually, like I think Colt like throws like a pebble in his gun or something. Because that was like his whole training thing. Because like.
Right, right, the aiming.
It's
yeah.
Like to like quiet his rage and like focus.
Oh, Colt.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Rocky was solid like a rock.
He was.
And Colt was wild and untamed like a colt. And then Tum Tum, oh, God bless him, Tum Tum just loved jelly beans.
Yep. He was constantly but, eating.
Yeah, by the third movie, I think it was just.
Oh my
Colt
God.
Was the same.
It was just like.
And High Noon at Mega Mountain yep. with. Hulk Hogan, brother. And, oh, man. And
wasn't,
like, Tum Tum
wasn't there a fourth one, too?
The same. I think so.
Because there was, like, wasn't the one, like, they go to, like, help Native Americans or something? Was that Mega Mountain?
Whoa, get out of here. Was it?
I don't know.
I don't usually watch the sequels. I usually just try to keep it at the first three ninjas. But yeah, we'll have to get back to that. We'll follow up on that next week because now I want to know just how many Three Ninjas there actually are.
I'm pretty sure there's four.
Good lord!
Oh yeah, there's so it's oh there's actually five.
No.
Oh my goodness, there is. Okay, so we got Three Ninjas.
Oh no.
Three Ninjas, Kickback, Knuckle Up,
and then High Noon at Mega Mountain. Right. Oh god.
I was just like. There's not five, so there's another movie made in 1990 called Three Little Ninjas and the Lost Treasure.
Yeah.
So I don't know what.
Yeah, wow. I forgot about Knuckle Up.
Yeah. I never saw that one. I only saw the first two.
Oh, wow. What is this movie? The brothers are again spending the summer with their grandfather. When they band together to help an Indian... Yep, goddammit, you're right. They band together to help an Indian boy stop an evil businessman from dumping toxic waste
yes.
on the tribe's
yes.
land.
I remember that.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah, so that's three...
I'm kind of, like, hurt now. Yeah, it's like finding out that I'm, like, adopted or something. It's like there's this other Three Ninjas movie that I all this time.
It's okay, Joe.
When were you gonna tell
it's
me?
Okay. It's okay, Joe. It's okay.
I don't believe you.
There's therapy sessions for that.
Oh God, there's not enough therapy in the world to fix my angst right
yeah.
now.
So, I can only think of a couple more. Mortal Kombat, Sub-Zero, and Scorpion.
Oh, two of the best ninjas of all time.
Yep.
I mean, fire and ice. Can't really get.
Well, it's like ice and like
too much more
ice and pointy things.
Well, yeah, but
and,
I mean,
they also breathe fire, so.
Yeah, they were sort of like, hey, that's a big plot hole. Like they're not really exactly opposites. But you know what actually bothered me a lot? They had a great opportunity to go and really run with the backstory. Of Scorpion and Sub-Zero because in the actual like Mortal Kombat storyline like for the game and you know to a lesser extent Mortal Kombat Mythologies Sub-Zero
yeah.
which was interesting I think it was something along the lines of like Sub-Zero his clan like killed Scorpion's family but Scorpion was like a big douchebag. Like I think that was basically the story.
He like pledged himself to like a demon or something, like shout like sing
yeah,
song
like,
or something. But, like
I'm pretty
make
sure
me
like
a demon.
He's dead. Yeah, because he's been dead for a while. And Sub-Zero's like, we killed your family because you're a dick. And then Scorpion's like, you killed my family.
Yeah,
it's like yeah, well we killed your family because you're a dick. Well you killed my family. It just goes on for like generations, but they don't really. Talk about that in the first Mortal Kombat movie. It's just Christopher Lambert being awesome as Lord Raiden.
Definitely.
Best line in that whole movie is, "Forgive him, Lord Raiden. America, too much television. It's rotted his brain." Such good times.
And he has like the creepiest laugh ever.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So you mean to tell me a handful of people on a leaky boat are going to save the world?
Exactly.
It's like, oh, God, Uncle Creepy, calm down.
Yeah, the first Mortal Kombat movie is just awesome, though.
Yeah, oh, unquestionably. I mean, it had everything in it. Like, everything as a Mortal Kombat fan at the time, you know, you could want to see.
Like, it was, like, the only, like, video game movie that, like, understood, like, what the video game was. Like, they didn't try to do, like, Street Fighter, like, make it, like, a whole, like,
oh, God.
Ridiculous, like, global conflict, international intrigue going on. Just, like, it's a tournament of fighting. It's a tournament fighting tournament. Just have people go and fight each other.
Okay.
It's Bloodsport with powers. Just go.
That's basically what it was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, that was a damn fine movie.
Like, so many great moments. Like, Johnny Cage punching Goro in the balls and just, like...
Those are $500 sunglasses, asshole. Yeah. Pow.
And then, like...
Perfect.
Veronica Vaughn just, like, breaking Kano's neck and stuff and, like...
Yeah.
Scorpion Johnny Cage fight where, like, they actually do, like, the... Here's an autograph.
Yeah. Yeah. Best fatality.
Yeah.
Oh, good times. But looking back on it, though, that movie was so, like, poorly developed. Like, just in terms of, like, their cuts. Like, it seems like there's an hour more to that movie that's just, like, sitting on an editing room floor somewhere. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know how it goes from, like, one scene to all of a sudden just Johnny Cage strolling through the woods for no reason by himself. Well, enter Scorpion. Well, it's like, oh.
That part of the movie is kind of...
Fight ensues.
It was kind of montage-y, that part. Because it's like, here's a montage of fights between people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. And I think that's the only way you really can do it. But
yeah. But then Mortal Kombat Annihilation is just like an abomination of man.
It was. I wanted to like that movie so much. I tried so hard to defend it because I was like, you know what? It really isn't. Oh, no, you're right. It's terrible. Like,
it's like.
Because I think the only thing it had going for it in terms of like faithfulness to the series, Mortal Kombat, is that they used characters from Mortal Kombat games.
Pretty much, yeah.
But other than that, it's like some bizarre fucking story,
I love the fact that they killed Johnny Cage in literally like the first minute of the movie.
I almost left the theater when that
snap.
Happened.
Snap!
Because Johnny Cage is my all-time favorite Mortal Kombat character, and I don't know what that says about me as a person, but I'll tell you what it said about that movie. I was like, well, I can't really see this movie getting much worse. Boy, was I wrong.
like Liu Kang and Katana were, like, the only people that came back.
I know. And then there's, like, Jax, who was, like, a different actor, and they're like, hey, weren't you in the first movie? And he's like, no, not really.
I got robot arms now.
Yeah, for no reason.
They threw, like, the worst, like, Mortal Kombat characters in there. Like, they had, like, Cyrax and stuff.
They had Sektor and Cyrax, yeah. And then they had, like, Sub-Zero's, like, cousin.
Yeah.
Whatever, like, it's like, I'm not the real Sub-Zero.
Like the Mortal Kombat, like, 3 or whatever, Sub-Zero, where, like, he had, like, no mask and stuff.
Yeah, the one that nobody liked.
Yeah.
And then they later made him look like Shredder in the later Mortal Kombats, which was fine with me.
And they had, like, Reptile and...
Yeah, they had Reptile, they had, Nightwolf.
Oh my god,
like,
yes.
Liu Kang on, like, a spirit quest. I'm like, wow, why don't you take him to the casino while we're at it, too? Because, you know, while we're doing Indian stereotypes.
To unlock his bestiality. Like
bestiality or whatever it was. Which was... I've made the mistake.
Animality,
yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a very fine line that you don't want to cross.
The final fight were just, like, two CGI blobs ramming against each other.
And that was it. Like that was in like the larva stage of like CG. Also,
like he and Shang Tsung just like turned to like dragons and just fight each other.
Yeah, there was no need for that, especially because it was the most like unimpressive CG of all time.
I think my favorite part of that movie though is Malibu from like the first season of American Gladiators is Motaro, like the senator guy.
Motaro.
I think he's dubbed too.
I think he was. Because I remember it being like, really? Why is he talking like that? Like, that's very strange.
I have a very deep voice.
Yes. I am also a centaur, which is cool, I guess.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, that was a That was a weird movie. And you know what else bothered me about it while we're on the subject? Mm-hmm. The fact that Shao Kahn, like, wasn't really too badass.
No, he's just, like, some dude. Some wrestler. Yeah. Some, like, wrestler dude. Like, he looks like he, like, walked out of WWF or something.
Yeah, but, like, he wasn't even, like, jacked. Like, because I remember, like, in the video games, like, he looked like a steroid freak, and I was like, whoa, like, I wouldn't mess with that guy. And then, like, in the movie, he was just kind of, like, a tall, like, lean dude. Like, he looked like, you know, an in-shape martial artist, but, like, the scariest thing about him was, like, his mask and the fact that, like, he kills Johnny Cage, and then he doesn't really do anything else for a lot of the movie. He's just sort of, like, an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, wow, God, Shao Kahn's such a dick. Like, that's basically what the movie's about.
He just throws, like, turkey legs at people and stuff, and, like,
yeah,
rides around on a horse for some reason.
Yeah. There are some very strange things about that movie. Like, when Raiden gets, like, a haircut, and he's like, what do you think for the new look? And they're like, why did you do that?
I'm younger now.
He's like, these are reshoots, haven't you heard? Like, very, very strange movie.
It was. So, can you think of any more, like, ninjas, Joe?
Any more ninja movies? You know, the thing about ninjas is that they're really everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, like, in movies and stuff, and, like, as cliche as it might be to, like, throw in ninjas, like, nothing is cooler, in my opinion, than, like, a really well-done ninja. You know, and you don't see it that often, but, I mean, when ninjas are cool... they're cool. When they're lame, like, you're sort of like, oh, they played the ninja card. But, you know, there are just so many examples of them that, like, I can't even really pick one out at this point that, like, really stands out to me. Like, the only one that really stands out to me, we already talked about, and it was, you know, a poor example, was Ninja Assassin.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, other than that, I'm drawing a blank here.
Well, if anyone listening thinks of any more ninjas, definitely send it in to us.
Yeah, please let us know. I mean, our ninja department is basically always open. You know, I don't think we're going to be like, oh, we don't want to talk about ninjas this week. Like, whatever.
We'll slip
in a ninja. Yeah, fuck ninjas, bro. That's so 1987.
We're going to talk about cyborgs now or something.
I mean, yeah, listen, you're talking to the guy who, you know, consciously went into a Barnes & Noble and bought the book The Ninja and Their Secret Fighting Art when I was in, like, seventh grade. So, you know, ninjas are fine by me. Mm-hmm. Just fine.
So, I think that's going to do it for this week. If you want more of our crazy thoughts on ninjas and pretty much everything else that we do, go to www.everythingaction.com. Actually, definitely come to the website this weekend because I'm going to be starting my crazy Total Recall revamp, which is I'm going to start watching Sliders from the beginning and writing about an episode a week.
Oh, boy.
So that's going to be awesome.
Wow. Sliders. Oh, man, there's a throwback.
The first 2.5 seasons is like one of the greatest shows ever.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see what you do with that, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, the pilot of Sliders is awesome because, like, they go to communist world.
Yeah. Oh, they do, don't they?
And also Ice Age World. Where it's like there's like a snow tornado.
Oh, man, that sounds horrifying.
It is.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that'll be up probably like Saturday or Sunday, so definitely come back to the site and check that out. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search for Everything Action on Facebook. Also on Twitter, twitter.com/EVAction. The iTunes Music Store, where you can get the podcast and also our app, which is... the last 20 news stories and also the latest episode of the podcast. Oh, I never went. Joe, I was going to talk about this news, but what did you think of the Netflix iPhone app?
I absolutely love it. To be brutally honest with you, I think it was well worth the wait because on wireless, it's near 3G, it's near DVD quality. I'm sure it's even better with the new iPhone because it's got like an actual HD display. And then on 3G, like, the picture quality is great. It just loads kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather have it load a little bit slow and look the same than be, like, super pixelated and, like, you know, crappy sound. My only complaint about it is that you can't manage your physical queue with it. Like, you can't look up Blu-rays or DVDs and add them to your disk queue. you can only search for things that are available on Watch Instant and manage your instant queue. But you know what? I'm really not complaining about that. That's fine.
Awesome.
Yeah, definitely check it out. It's really great.
So you can also email us at contacteverythingaction.com. So, yeah, for Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.